What's up, strangers? This is Chris Hawker, and you're listening to the Strange Carolinas Podcast. Our guest for this episode is Mount Olive Pickle Company Public Relations Manager Lynn Williams, who tells us all about the history of their New Year's Eve pickle drop. We'll also speak with Kelly Duffy about two new selfie experiences here in Greensboro. And I'm really stoked to share a musical guest. I have long admired Gus Cuddy's amazing murals, never realizing he's also an extremely talented MC. Sound cool? Then pour yourself a drink, sit back, and prepare to embrace the strange. What's up, strangers? Our guest this week is Lynn Williams, the public relations manager of the Mount Olive Pickle Company. How are you doing today, Lynn?
I'm delightful. How about you?
I'm doing good. How did the New Year's Eve pickle drop begin at Mount Olive Pickles?
Well, it actually started on a lark, literally, 21 years ago. At the beginning of 1999, we became the official pickle and pepper of the millennium. Oh. And my president emeritus at the time, who Mr. Johnny Walker, who was just a hoot of a man. He came up with the idea. He's the one who had us listed as the official pickle and pepper of the millennium. There was never a man born to be a pickle company president than Mr. Walker. Let me just say. So we decided that, you know, it would be kind of fun to get some publicity pictures on the eve of the millennium. And we had the, and we would drop a pickle on our tank yard. So we had a big plastic pickle. We had our maintenance superintendent with the pickle on a rope. And the guy in the suit had a date that night. So we didn't wait till midnight. We just did it as soon as it got dark, about 7, you know. And so about 7 o'clock, we all assembled on the tank yard. And it was Mr. Walker and his wife and my husband and my children who were young at the time. So there were 8 of us. And we dropped the pickle in the tank. And we took a bunch of pictures with Mr. Crisp in the suit. And then we had some pictures. So that was the first New Year's Eve pickle drop.
I'm sure it's changed a lot over the years, though, right?
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, we've gone from 8 to several thousand. And we broadcast it on our website and live. And it just sort of took on this life of its own over the years. It really has. But, you know, we're sort of on the bucket list of odd New Year's Eve celebrations that people want to come to. And, right. Yeah, it's really, really funny and cool, and we do it early. You know, we do it at,
yeah.
Yeah, that's the best part about it. It's we figured out 7 o'clock was a good time. And our joke was that, you know, it was 7 o'clock here is actually midnight Greenwich Mean Time, okay. So that makes us official, and we sing Auld Lang Syne and shout Happy New Year, and then we're all home in bed long before midnight.
Or you can hit another one.
Well, or for folks who, you know, actually have a social life, then they can come, they can do ours with their children, or and then they can just be off to do another one, a midnight one later. So there's plenty of time to get two in. Yep, absolutely.
Last year was the 20th anniversary. How many people attended that?
We actually, it's hard to tell. We moved it last year for the first time off-site to the University of Mount Olive because we were actually doing a major construction project here at our plant site, and we just couldn't have that kind of crowd here. But I'd say several thousand.
Wow.
2 to 3 thousand, easy.
Yeah. Who gets to lower the pickle now?
It's still our maintenance folks who do it. And I have to give a shout out to all of them, because we just couldn't do it without them. And over the years, they take a lot of pride in it. And so they've added elements to it over the years to make it a little nicer. And they always hated the, we used to have a, we'd have a guy in the tank. It's a, we actually, it's, it comes down our flagpole. It's usually, okay. And normally, and so they kind of time it. And we had a guy in the tank because we have a big wooden, an antique wooden brine tank around our flagpole. Okay. So we had a guy in the tank, and when the pickle would come down the pole, he had a bucket of water, and he would throw the water over the tank to make it look like the pickle had splashed.
Gotcha.
Right? But they hated the red bucket. And so to fix it, they built a hose, a water feature. They added a water feature to the edge of the tank. And now when the pickle came down the pole, it splashes water very nicely and very, just a little more organized, I think, than the bucket.
Cool.
But last year for our... for the 20th, and because we had moved the location to University of Mount Olive, we enlisted the help of the Mount Olive Fire Department. So they brought their ladder truck, and so we had a volunteer fireman and one of our maintenance folks, and together they dropped the pickle down the from the top of the truck.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
What other events do you have at your pickle drop? Anything?
Well, we do. We've always had a canned food drive that for Food Bank of Central and Eastern North Carolina. And we usually collect anywhere from probably about a half ton of food, which is really awesome. Yeah. And we have live music, and we have the Harmony Boys, which is a sort of a gospel group that has played for years. One of the fellas in the band is our controller. He's literally been here at the plant for about 45 years. And so they were sort of a local favorite. And then we have LJ Manley, who's a DJ, who is one of our maintenance techs. And he leads everybody in line dancing. So it's a wide kind of thing. We introduced food trucks this past year because we had the room to do it. So yeah, it's a lot. It's free hats and noise makers. We also do free pickles, cookies, and hot chocolate.
No pickle eating contest.
No pickle eating contest, but you know, we actually save that for the North Carolina Pickle Festival in April. So but we do have folks who try to see how many they can eat since they are free all along.
I bet. Has the pickle ever been stolen or damaged?
Yes, actually, and that's part of our maintenance guys too. In terms of they're wanting to and change things up and improve things, you know, we started out with just a pickle with a sticker on it, and but a couple years later we added they added Christmas lights. They drilled holes in the little in all the bumps on the pickle and put the Christmas lights in. But the danger for that is if one of those lights busted, of course, all the lights went out. So a later version of the pickle, they inserted lights on the inside of it. So it just glowed. It's really pretty at night. And but on the way to the pole one year, the pickle rolled out onto the asphalt and busted one of the lights. And we didn't have another one ready. So that year, our pickle was half lit, which we had a good laugh about that and the half lit pickles. But after that, we made sure we always had two pickles. We had a pickle and a spare just in case something happened. So, yeah. Yep.
Where do you keep the pickle the other 364 days of the year?
Well, generally it's in an undisclosed location.
Okay. But is it on display or is it just like tucked away somewhere so no one can find
it? It's literally tucked away somewhere where it won't be damaged, and its maintenance always holds on to it and I never know where it is. So that's why it's undisclosed.
All right.
They bring it out.
One more question. Besides dealing with weirdos like me, what's the strangest request you've received as PR manager?
Strangest request? I gotta think about that one. Well, you know, I do get a lot of, I get questions from bars sometimes where there's obviously been drinking involved and they get in some sort of argument about pickles. We do get those. You know, they'll leave messages, you know, at the night, like 2 o'clock in the morning, and you can hear everybody in the background and we're solving, you know, they want us to solve an argument about pickles. And those are pretty funny. We get those. And office bets. We've done that kind of thing. So, yeah, those are just the funny ones.
Cool. Well, hey, thanks so much for taking the time to talk to me. I appreciate it.
Orb, I'm delighted to do it.
It's time for everyone's favorite part of the podcast, Call Back with Kelly. How's it going, Kelly?
It's going great, Chris. How's it going with you?
Doing good. This week, here in Greensboro, I learned we have not one, but two. I'm not really sure what you call them. Selfie stations, like hybrid photography studios, I'm not sure. But they're basically places where people could go to take selfies of themselves or have photos taken of them by others, and that's really the only reason to go to these places. Mm-hmm. And I shared them with you because I was so excited. The first one we're going to talk about tonight is Scenes Pop-Up Studio, and it was actually started by a photographer and a balloon artist. And their stuff's all really friendly, family friendly, right? Wouldn't you say? And they had scenes set up right now that were perfect for Christmas cards,
which, yeah.
I mean, makes it very easy for a photographer.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, when I saw this, I thought, you know, first of all, what a great idea, especially the Scenes Pop-Up Studio, because I had been looking around for ages for places to either shoot a Christmas card or something like that. So any kind of great space with artistic flair. You know, obviously one of the things that I think is fantastic about them, they don't just pop up themselves. So clearly an artist was hired, and I'm actually all for seeing creative people working and getting paid to create amazing things. So, you know, the aspect of it that, you know, you can bring your family, this kind of seemed like it was mostly outdoors. Isn't that what it looked like to you when I was looking at it?
No, it's inside. It's inside.
Oh, the Scenes one is inside. Okay. See, it looked to me like it was a winter wonderland. So I was kind of assuming it was outside. But
it looks outdoorsy. That's what makes it so awesome. I mean, you feel like you're looking at an outdoor scene, but it's actually inside.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, so you can, there are pros and cons to this, obviously, because if you're one of this, everything has to be, you know, authentic kind of people, you may kind of not get into it. But that kind of curated space for people to show up and do creative things, you can't really argue with that. You know, it's, you bring your family, you have a great place.
Especially if you got little ones that are hard to handle.
Yeah, honestly. It's
a closed place to get the job done.
Yeah, and instead of dressing them all in, like, you know, difficult, itchy sweaters and bringing them to Olin Mills and getting the holiday photographs, you have this, like, incredibly festive holiday background that it looks like maybe you just happened upon in a Hallmark movie and you all decided to stop out and have hot cocoa. And I thought this was, honest to God, this is a great idea. I think it's a great moneymaker, and, you know, bravo commerce at this point, because, you know, people making a buck, that's what I like to see, people working, you know, and, you know, like you were talking about, the fact that you have to pay for the privilege of this, you know, is on the one hand, yeah, okay, it's curated or whatever, but on the other hand, it's great. You walk in with the kids, you say, okay, we're going to stand here. I'm assuming these people give you a limited amount of time, from what I could tell. But you still have that time frame to get it together and take your pictures. So I think, you know, great use of warehouse space.
Plus, I believe the photographer that helped start it, I believe you can hire her too for sessions.
Oh, there you go. You're supporting yet another artist. So, I mean, I can really, you know, in the beginning I was a little meh, You know, because there's an aspect of it that when you think about it, it's sort of like, well, you know, it's completely fabricated and it's not like you happened upon anything. But then when you think about the difficulty and the pain and suffering, I can tell you, like, right. Getting in the car and going to, like, a, you know, I'm from D.C., but let's drive to the monument, you know, pay for parking, get a ticket because you're not going to get in, you're not going to get back in time to, you know, feed the meat, or drag your kids in the freezing cold to stand in front of the Washington Monument. They're all complaining. I'm thinking, these people have a much better idea of how to do a family photo. You just get in this beautiful curated holiday space, you take your pick, and you're supporting local business, and it looks great.
Yeah. And then there's the one at the other end of the spectrum. It's not really family friendly at all. I mean, I guess it could be, but it's called the Rich Girls Museum, but it's badass. God, I love this place. I'm just itching to work with a model at this place. I mean, they've got a Jeep in one room, a room of yellow gumball machines, a room that looks like a jail, a room that looks like the inside of a jet. And I mean, everything is so bright and colorful. It's amazing. I mean, somebody with major artistic vision and money put this together.
Yeah, this one was impressive. I mean, you know, not crazy about the actual name of it, you know, the Rich Girls Museum, but the when you take a look at it, I mean, I went and looked. This is so well put together. I mean, yeah. You know, on the one hand, like I said, there's the cynic in me says, well, you know, the fact that a large open industrial space can be converted into a den of self-promotion for Instagramming influencers, it's timely and it's kind of a little bit hilarious. And, you know, the fact that they pay for the privilege is also great. But when I really looked at how these rooms were done, I don't know if they're just rooms or just, they actually look bigger than rooms. They look like they're these big open photography spaces, the kind of place like where you would see like professional photographers taking pictures of models like in the 80s and 90s. Right. Like it's very professional. And I think the fact that, you know, nowadays everything is do it yourself. So, you know, you can make the argument, well, it's not authentic or, you know, but it's all a fabricated illusion. But at this point, isn't everything on the internet a mirage anyway?
Right, exactly.
And
I mean, the like the perfect place to like if you needed an album cover done.
Yes.
Right here. I mean, God, it's amazing.
Yeah, somebody.
And it's black out.
Yeah, absolutely. This was very professionally done. And my whole take on it was, if you're looking for a place to go and take great Instagram photos, it's one thing. But like you were saying, you could also go take professional photos in this place.
Right.
So I think it's totally worthwhile. The whole idea, I mean, like you and I are photographers, you know, and granted we shoot or I shot mostly in dimly lit music venues, you know, the first three songs, no flash, with big bulky cameras, you know, we can both appreciate a dedicated place to shoot with lots of space and fantastic lighting and it just a, you know, great creative direction and, you know, the interesting backdrops. So this one was well thought out. You know, I don't know. I mean, you would know better than I. There's no place around me. I looked that had anything like this. And I was really shocked because I'm, you know, in a major metropolitan area. And you would know more than I would, but, you know, are these places crowded? Are they doing a good business?
It looks like the one, I mean, yeah, they're both doing their own business. I mean, family, tons of families are going to the one I saw where all their, like, Thanksgiving shoots were sold out. All their Black Friday shoots were sold out. So they must be doing good. And the other one, I see they are being tagged by all these people that have been there. And so they've only been open, I think, since 21st of October.
Now, I wonder if it's mostly a younger clientele, especially at the Rich Girls Museum one.
It's looks like a bunch of high school girls, college girls.
Yeah. And that would make sense because it's funny, you know, my college age daughter, they're always looking for an interesting background for when they go and take pictures for Instagram. And to me, I'm like, I couldn't be bothered, but you know, it's very important. So it's going to be a very lucrative business for a long time to come. And on the one hand, I was like, well, what a great idea. you know, during this, you know, slow, people really can't go a whole bunch of places now. So maybe these places will really rake in the money. And we all like to see people making money during the COVID. So
that's right. And I mean, we were talking, like, it gave us both the itch to start our own.
Yeah.
I mean, I would do like themes all the time. I mean, like, could you imagine like doing like Halloween, like setting up sets to like of like famous horror movies and stuff like that? Or,
oh yeah, I could get lost in like, but I would go down a rabbit hole and never come out. You know what I mean? Like, imagine trying to do, like you said, all the Halloween films, or, you know, putting together Michael Myers or Jason, or it would be like doing a massive haunted house. Or you could do anything. You could do movie themes.
I was thinking one where you just do like sporting like places, like,
yeah,
like you just take a bat at home plate, or like your one's made to look like a football field. I mean, the possibilities are endless. I mean,
did we just find our own side hustle? Is that what we're gonna do now?
Don't have the fun. So if you're listening and would like to contribute,
yes. I mean,
but it's amazing. I mean, this is such a great idea, and it I mean, we've got two here in Greensboro for some reason, and I can't believe there are none in the DC area.
None. I mean, unless they're hiding them from me, and they're like, they're named something different. Like, you know how we were trying to figure out what's the actual name for a place like this?
Yeah.
Is it a selfie station? What is it? So I was looking for different things. You know, I was Googling places to take, professionally curated places to take selfies or whatever, and nothing was coming up. Right. You know, and I had said to you, I'm like, well, we have all these places where you can kind of show up with these big installations, like the museums and stuff here. But it's kind of not the same thing, because this is specifically tailored for people to come in and spend time and do whatever they want to do and take their pictures and, you know, post them on the internet. And clearly you're supposed to tag them or whatever. So, you know, honest to God, it's a fantastic idea. I love to see it. And you actually have to go. And even if it's just to check it out, like you were saying, you would never be the model or whatever, but just go look at it.
I mean, I'm going to drag somebody with me to take pictures of, because I've got to check that place out.
Absolutely. And when you go, I have to see the photos, because I'm curious to see how they come out.
But yeah, do you have any other ideas?
No, as far as, you know, what I can make when I do my own selfie station. I mean,
it's endless. I mean, there's so many, like I think of like these escape rooms. If half of them turned into this, I think they'd become a lot more profitable overnight. But
I agree. You know, and funny that you mentioned that. Two of the escape room businesses that opened locally here have closed.
Yeah.
Yeah, because
I mean, I know there's plenty that are still doing just great. But I mean, like in Greensboro, we have a few of them, and I can't see, because it's been around for so long, that we need that many in this small market or whatever.
No, I can see that. But, you know, like you mentioned, they're easily convertible to something like this, because almost every single room in an escape room has a theme.
Right. Yeah. I mean, they could even just do half of it.
Yeah. And honestly,
escape room in one and do the other one a photo.
And you're so busy in the escape room trying to escape, you don't have time to take selfies. You're in a panic. It's an anxiety ridden. If we don't get out of here, we're going to be crushed to death and be stuck in here. I mean, literally, when I went in one, I had a horrible panic attack. I'm like, if we don't figure out these clues, we are never leaving this room. It was terrible. And I was screaming at everyone when they couldn't get the. I'm like, what is wrong with you? Why can't you get the clues? I'm like, I'm never doing this with you again. You're terrible at it. Meanwhile, like, my kids were with me. but no, I can totally see that. Convert half the stuff to like a selfie type of station, or I'm going to continue to look around by me, because this actually really piqued my interest. So I'm going to see if I can find the proper name for them and see if maybe, or you know what? I hate to say this. I'm going to ask my college age kids, because they would actually know.
Well, that, how do you think I found out about them?
Your college age kid. There you go.
Yeah. So,
well, we can thank them that we remain on the cusp of being hip.
Yeah. Holding on tight, trying not to let go. Well, hey, always, as always, it was a pleasure talking to you tonight.
It was great talking to you too. And let me know as soon as you go to this place, because I really want to find out more about it.
I'll do that. All right. Have a good week.
You too. Take care.
Though best known as a pioneer in the North Carolina graffiti scene and prolific mural artist, Gus Cuddy has been involved in the Asheville hip-hop scene since the late 90s. Between promoting national acts with the group Smush Factor and touring the country with his groups Iron Fist and Fist Fam, Gus has remained a staple of Western North Carolina hip-hop. Now after almost a decade-long hiatus, he returns to the mic with a 7-song project, The Fast Lane, produced by fellow North Carolina alumni Brycon, where he muses on everything from NASCAR, Noam Chomsky, to spectrophilia. Here's Gus Cuddy with Dollar Sign.
You got plenty of money. Don't need that to keep racing. Is it worth the risk to keep on going?
Sure, to win. I mean, that's what we've always done. The money's never been a factor. We raced when we didn't have any.
The type to stunt what you want, fool, don't even ask for. Opposite of flashy bitch, I'm mashing in the RAV4. You want a bright guy, you have it, but that is bad form. I keep my status in cabbage pack like them baggies passing the border crosses. My force is brolic and panoramic. Don't even try and cross. You got a lot of levels up to reach the final boss. I keep no dough in my pocket, cause the vultures keep watching. Call me overly cautious, but to be totally honest, if them soldiers come knocking, probably fold like a wallet. I ain't a tough guy, plus I'm kinda socially awkward. Hey, dope is nirvana, but never eat with a needle. Rather soak in a sauna, then end up creasing the fetal. I'm a king, I'm too regal, then I go feeding my people. So when I feast, the whole team knows they got a seat. Let's go and get it. Every day they pray to Cuddy's gonna choke up. Hoping Gus is bluffing, but you ain't got no luck. Thought I told you I ain't playing, oh, I'm grown up. I've been grinding since the moment that I woke up. Every day they pray to Cuddy's gonna choke up. Hoping Gus is bluffing, but you ain't got no luck. Thought I told you I ain't playing, oh, I'm grown up. I've been grinding since the moment that I woke up. Used to tag it with a dollar sign. Now I don't give a damn about the bottom line. Not tonight, bitch, I'm getting lit like when my father died. Homicide and Jamie, only way your boy may drop the mic. Not tonight, bitch, I'm on it like, fuck your likes. I'ma write what I like, stop believing in the hype. Hey, Chuck your flavor, told us fuck the major. Still we want the paper, signing dotted lines and compromising Lou with something greater. I'm on the makers, I'm Cuddy, I'm ducking neighbors. The country got southern flavor, straight pumping through my behavior. Big up the anger and all my folks in the West. Lord willing, you can rap, but don't go holding your breath. Cans, I control them. I told my fans I'ma hold them. The golden standards, I'm growing. I'll hold their hands when I'm flowing. The dopest ends, I'm emboldened. I'm going ham, I'ma smoke them. So don't throw sand in my moment. I see the top, let's go and get it. Every day they pray to Cuddy's gonna choke up. Hoping Gus is bluffing, but you ain't got no luck. Thought I told you I ain't playing, oh, I'm grown up. I've been grinding since the moment that I woke up. Every day they pray to Cuddy's gonna choke up. Hoping Gus is bluffing, but you ain't got no luck. Thought I told you I ain't playing, oh, I'm grown up. I've been grinding since the moment that I woke up. Sick of chasing dollars, I'm sick of making hollow bullshit talking, making model. I'm sick of playing lotto, I'm sick of pay for follows. I'm sick of praying I'ma make it in the race. I got a lot of motherfucking heart, fuck the charts. Cuddy's on a hunger strike, from the start I love to write these bars that keep me up at night. Touch a Midas, I'm turning rust to diamonds. I turn my back to anyone who's talking plus or minus. I'm talking higher standards defined despite the cameras. I'm tired of these guys who writers who sponsor like right beneath. Bananas. Oh, mind your manners, this shit was made by the rebels. The record labels embezzle shekels who shake with the devil. I'm the bass, I'm the treble. I'm a lord, I'm a cobra. I'm the force, I'm the Yoda. The liquor poured in your soda. I'm a warning, I told you. The winds of change were upon us. We're sick of drinking the punch and them at the wheel. Let's go and get it. Every day they pray to cut, he's gonna choke up. Hoping Gus is bluffing, but you ain't got no luck. Thought I told you I ain't playing, oh, I'm grown up. I've been grinding since the moment that I woke up. Every day they pray to cut, he's gonna choke up. Hoping Gus is bluffing, but you ain't got no luck. Thought I told you I ain't playing, oh, I'm grown up. I've been grinding since the moment that I woke up.
Loved. And I'm respected. But not everybody loves and respects me.
Hey, you! You rode on my van, man! I'm gonna get you, punk!
That's it for this go-around, strangers. We'd like to thank everyone who appeared on this episode of the Strange Carolinas podcast. Lynn Williams, Kelly Duffy, and Gus Cuddy. Most of all, I'd like to thank you for listening to Strange Carolinas. If you liked it, I hope you'll become a repeat listener and tell all your friends about it. And if you're feeling extra generous, please rate us and give us a review. Until next time, remember to embrace the strange, and please play nice with each other.